And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Hello again, everybody, and a very pleasant Wednesday evening to you all.
You didn't want me to announce, make your announcement tonight, huh?
Yeah, we do. It just didn't slip my mind, Wally.
Okay.
I think it's time that we mention those things occasionally. Maybe, I think, once a week, once a month, or...
All right, here's the Peabody Award-winning Bob and Ray Show.
Thank you very much, Wally Ballou.
Two-time winner.
That's right. Gee, really making us blush. But anyway, thanks again.
Well, as he says it, though, it isn't like us saying it.
Friends, I wish you could look out the huge Bob and Ray picture window overlooking Manhattan right now. Of course, all the Christmas decorations and lights.
Manhattan, Ray, is like a Gainsborough come to life.
No, I don't know, Zeg. I'd say that. Gainsborough never did a Manhattan picture.
No, he never did. But
he would do Tulip Time in Kew or something.
Yes, or Lilac Time or something. Mm-hmm. But there have been many beautiful paintings.
Poor Boy Blue. Who did Little Boy Blue? Wally, I'm not talking about it. No. No, but who painted that thing? Was that Gainsborough?
The Blue Boy was
Who did that? Who did Blue Boy?
Well, you've got me now, you see. I'd be no good in a booth or anything.
Sergeant? Well, I thought it was Gainsborough, but
might
I
have been.
Could be very wrong on that.
I don't know.
Well, I don't look it up. I'll look it up for you. But...
All right, look it up.
Encyclopedia, try to come back before the show is over.
Oh, look at that beautiful city.
Isn't that, we were just commenting on that.
Oh, movie. It's lovely. All the light.
Park Avenue's beautiful.
Kind of like a Whistler come to life.
Kind of like who?
A Whistler. A James McNeil Whistler.
James McNeil Whistler, yes.
Hello.
He's from Ray's hometown.
Lowell, I know he is.
Yes,
Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you know him, Ray, at all? Or?
Oh, no, he was 3 or 4 years ahead of me at school.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, the reason I wanted to come up on microphone tonight is this, that I don't think I've ever publicly taken time out to acknowledge the fact that great things have happened to me since I first appeared on your show.
I know what this is going to be. It's patting Bob and Ray on the back.
47.
Yes, it was.
And it's just been going on. I've always meant to say it, but I'd get on the air and get on a spirit track, so to speak. And I don't fill up Bob and Ray. Ray's slobbered at the least.
I think the Christmas spirit kind of has taken over all of you because every night now, someone of our cast has said the same thing in so many words.
What?
I say every night for the past 2 or 3 days, one of our cast has thanked us for all.
That's where I got the idea. I was listening, and I took an inventory and said, well, the same thing happened to me. Great things began to happen. I was invited out to Acton to judge a jelly contest. I'd go somewhere else, clear out to Bridgewater to judge a hat contest.
A hat contest? You mean hat designing?
Yes. And I'd go somewhere else. I've been book reviewing at several ladies' clubs.
Somebody asked you to write a book, too, didn't they, Barry?
I've been asked to write a book for children.
That's proof what Bob and Ray could do for you.
Well, it certainly is.
Well, look, why don't you just sit right over in those two chairs there?
All right.
Talk back and forth.
Let's talk about what Bob and Ray have done for us, Barry.
Well, all right.
I'd like to join in, if you don't mind. They've done a lot for me and the Smoky Valley boys, too.
Oh, well, you'll have to stop that now, please, because we have other things to do. But sit there, enjoy the show, while your two benefactors go through what we call a promotional for another program. And I have the first speech. And it starts.
Ray says,
thumbnail preview time now. For those four top CBS radio mystery and adventure dramas coming your way next Sunday.
Then Bob says, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, will plunge headlong into a case that involves mink hijacking, a bewitching Eurasian girl, and a piece of petrified chewing gum.
Then Ray responds with, suspense will present a creepy, crawly yarn from the secret annals of medical science, the German whooping chicken mumps, with Nana Noonan in the title role.
Then, I expostulate, moving to Western action, there's that Have Gun Will Travel man, Paladin, in an episode entitled OK Zane Grey, They Went That Away.
Bob, or rather Ray, then I guess is next. Ray volunteers, not to mention Gunsmoke, a high point of which will be a spirited 3-minute clog dance by Dodge City Kitty.
And remember, I exclaim next, between each of these top-notch dramas next Sunday night, you'll hear award-winning time checks by your local CBS radio affiliate.
Ray, brushing imaginary dust from his shoulder, says, you know, I still think the program department is putting us on with those storylines.
To which Bob replies wryly, if we can hang on to our curiosity until Sunday night, we stand a good chance of finding out.
Then Ray bourbonly says, time for this. And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
In our last episode, we learned that Billy Headstrong, cousin of Jack Headstrong, All-American American, had joined the Interstellar Space Academy. And his arrival there was not received too well by Lawrence and Mouse, who decided he was in for a good hazing. Now it's 3 weeks later, and in the rec hall, Lawrence and Mouse sit looking at the announcement of the graduates.
Mellish?
Dear Lawrence?
Do you know that the report cards came out today?
Oh, boy, I hope I passed. It's been a tough year for me.
Well, look, let me tell you this right now, Marg, that young Headstrong has been walking around here a good 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I know he has.
I'm afraid that, well, I shouldn't say afraid, that would prove I'm jealous, but I think he's come up with the highest grades at the academy,
well,
ever.
He doesn't appear to me the kind of guy who would come up with very good grades.
Well, he's a deceptive little pup.
Hi, fellas.
See, Billy Headstrong.
Is that your report card?
Oh, boy, wait till you see this, Lawrence.
Let's see it.
Wow. Astrophysics, A+. Rocketeering, A+. Thermonucleonics, 98. Geophysics, 99. Chemistry, 97 3/4.
Okay, well, let's get down here. Let's see how he is for cleanliness and like that.
How about knot tying? Where'd you get knot tying?
99.
Look at this. The average of this report card, Mug, is 99.
Well, it's probably the highest average mark any student ever had at the Interstellar Space Academy.
How do you account for this, Headstrong?
Well, I just applied myself, Lawrence.
I just hope you weren't looking over my shoulder.
No,
during examination.
No, I wasn't doing anything like that. And I didn't even ask Jack for any help either. Boy, he's going to be proud of me.
99 average. Well, I guess we can't say much to you now.
Oh, that's right, Beckenberger.
See?
You mean you'll take me up in one of the spaceships now?
Oh, well, sure. I tell you what, though. Mug, I think you'll agree that...
Yeah.
Here's a suggestion I have for young Headstrong. Rather than take the time of sending his report card home to have it signed by Jack...
Yeah.
And inasmuch as it's such a wonderful card...
Yeah.
Why don't you just sign it yourself, putting Jack's name on it?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Lawrence. It'd save a lot of time. I'll get my wings a little bit quicker that way.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Fettenberger.
Sure.
You know how the commandant is, everything for speed. That's his motto.
The line.
Oh, boy. Thanks for the idea, Lawrence. You're a real friend.
Good.
Hey, just...
So long.
Mark? Bye.
Yeah.
You know, that is not like me.
I didn't think it sounded like you, Fettenberger.
You know, ever since the experience on the North Star, I've not been the same. ¶¶
Baron Spechtenberger suggests an idea which undoubtedly will get Billy Headstrong into a great deal of trouble with the Commandant of the Space Academy. Be sure and listen as developments unfold in the next episode when we'll hear Lawrence say,
I have to go to the Commons, Aunt Mug. Young Headstrong has been busted out.
In the next exciting episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
Well, that's all very well. You fellas can go on entertaining with all those Headstrongs and Spechtenbergers and all.
For sure.
I'll bet you in 5 years or less, Lawrence Spechtenberger and Mellish and all the others will come to you one time and say that only because of exposure on your program have they achieved whatever greatness they have.
For that, Mary, I can only say it's highly possible. Highly probable.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I can say to that.
I just think for me to be coming to your program, regularly and never say this, and knowing that you love to hear this,
embarrassing. But it's very nice.
I think you'd like to hear it, but I just wanted to say it, that without your program, without the opportunity you presented to me, I don't think I would have amounted to that in cooking.
You're right, Barry. You're right.
Or in show business.
Hi, sports fans. This is one half of the athletic Big Two, Cappy Caldwell, Southern California's most handsome and highly regarded sports reporter. And to complete the athletic Big Two,
Sumner Chase, top-rated colorist of the far western sports scene. An effortless word artist describing the broad canvas of Southland sport.
And we're coming to you from Felcher Stadium, located in the sports capital of the world, fertile Los Angeles.
Where hungry fans make this superb metropolis truly the city of angels.
Tom, it's another great turnout here at Felcher Stadium. How big would you estimate the crowd to be?
185,000.
Well, it looks like to me a fine Tuesday morning crowd.
And they're still coming in, too, Cappy. I have a notion that the stadium will be filled to capacity by no later than 7 a.m.
Well, I'm afraid they'll miss the action that's about to take place here at Vast Felcher Stadium. The men are already on the field.
Yes. And it's a standing ovation as Woody Erickson and George Pavich walk to the East End. It's an unhurried walk, the East End of the stadium.
That roar you just heard, the ground crew had just removed the canvas from two power mowers, which Erickson and Pavich will use to cut the grass.
And now, they've reached the lawnmowers. Both have automatic starters, so we don't anticipate any trouble with...
And both engines kicked over beautifully.
And there they go, Erickson and Pavich, and all cutting the grass here at magnificent Felcher Stadium. This is what the crowd came to see.
Both men seem calm as they roll the mowers over the turf, but the crowd is going crazy.
It's difficult to believe, but both men have improved tremendously since last Tuesday, when they took 17 hours to cut the grass here at Felcher Stadium.
And the crowd seems to sense that the job might be done in record time today, maybe 16 hours. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I wouldn't want to hazard a guess at this early time, Cap. It's too early to tell. We should know more around noontime. I think the crowd feels the same way, though. Almost a wait-and-see attitude.
Well, that's what it looks like to me, Tom. An exciting but cautious gathering here in the early morning hours at Felcher Stadium, which gives us an opportunity to talk about the next tremendous attraction coming up at the stadium at 5 tomorrow morning.
Cut them off, please. We don't have enough time. Looks like another record's going to be broken there.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we'll have the sound of the bird of the week in just 10 seconds.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the sound of this week's bird.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get worried.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network.